Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
Another one of the social virtues which Aristotle talks about is what he calls friendliness, and he wants to distinguish this from friendship per se, philia. And sometimes Aristotle is a little inconsistent in his Greek terminology from the Nicomachean Ethics, the Eudaimian Ethics, to the Politics, to the Rhetoric. But in general, he distinguishes between friendship and this condition of friendliness and then the emotion involved in being friendly towards somebody. And this is a state of character, and it's a mean position, meaning that it is in between two vices. There's a vice of excess and a vice of deficiency, too much, too little. And what constitutes being a friendly or amenable or somebody with good social skills type of person? For Aristotle, it really has to do with giving pleasure and pain to other people. And in general, if we have the chance to give them pleasure by engaging in social activities with them, Aristotle thinks we ought to do that, that there's something wrong with a person who doesn't want to do that or sort of perversely wants to give pain to other people. Now, should we go along with everything? No. So the person who's friendly, they go along with, they join in, they approve the right things. They don't approve everything. As a matter of fact, they will have certain limits where they will refuse or criticize the wrong thing. So if I suggest, hey, let's go shoplifting, a person who's being friendly doesn't say to me, yeah, that's a great idea. They say, I think that's a bad idea. Let's not do that. And then if I keep pushing, they'll eventually say, hey, no, I'm not going along with you. As a matter of fact, I don't think I want to talk to you after this. That would be an example of what Aristotle calls friendliness. Now, on the other hand, if I invite somebody to a party and it's a normal kind of party, it's not, you know, something really weird or off the wall like, say a snuff party or something like that, then they say, yeah, let's go. Let me check my calendar. Let me see if I can make this. They won't refuse to engage in things. Now, if you say, hey, I want to go to this rave, and while people are dancing around, I want to punch a lot of people in the face, then they're going to say, there's something wrong with you. That's not what you should do at a party. You know, we could make up all sorts of examples like this. So it has to do with what sort of activities you're willing to engage in. Are they the right kind of activities or the wrong kind of activities? And somebody might say, oh, well, that's all very subjective. This is a common objection that's always made. And it is difficult sometimes to determine exactly where the boundary lines fall. But if you're looking at things from an Aristotelian perspective, that's not the case. It's not all up for grabs. It's not all just a matter of... There are some considerations that we ought to be guided by. Honor and usefulness, or the opposite of these, dishonor, shamefulness, and harm. If something is going to actually be harmful to a friend, whether in the short term or in the long term, if it's damaging to them, then you're not actually being a friend by saying, yeah, man, I think you ought to do that. That's a great idea. You're probably setting them up for harm, and that's being a bad friend. That's actually being over here on this side. On the other hand, if your friend is suggesting something that's good for them, even if it's not something that you perhaps want to do, like let's say they decide you have a friend that you're always going out to the bars with, and they say, you know, I got to curtail this activity. It's costing me too much money, and it's taking a toll on my health, and I'm not getting the work done or the studying done that I want to do. I'm going to cut back on that. Then the friendly thing to do is to say, yeah, that's a good idea. You should curtail that. Maybe I'll actually join in with you on that. Helping a friend quit smoking, for example, would be something along those lines. It's something that's good for them, good in the sense of useful. Not just in the sense of pure utility, but it's useful in the sense that it's beneficial for them. Then at a higher level, we have what's honorable and dishonorable. And for Aristotelian virtue ethics, this is something very important, and this is at a higher level. And again, you can say, well, isn't that purely subjective? No, for Aristotle, it's not. There are certain guidelines for this. He provides you with these in many of his works. You can read through them, and you can agree or disagree with them, but before you worry about whether it's subjective, read the Aristotle. So this person is going to observe certain limits. And they're going to observe these limits both for themselves and for others, the others who they're involved with in social interaction. Now let's look at one of the extremes. So the person who goes along with or approves everything, whether it's right or wrong, they seem like they're actually friendly. That often is what trips people up. There's this sense that if we're friends with somebody, we should love them, you know, respect them, hang out with them no matter what. That's what it means to be friends or comrades or bros or pick whatever you like. That side note, I tend to think that people who use the word bro are rather dull. They often end up over here. There's something about the culture of that. But there's all sorts of other things along those lines too. If you get in with a bad group of people who have bad characters, probably this is what they want in a friend because they don't want to be told you're doing the wrong thing. There's a lot of people who cannot handle criticism, in part because they are not actually happy with who they are and the sort of things that they're doing because they know in their heart that what they're doing is either wrong or harmful or screwed up or counterproductive, and they don't really want to hear that. They want to lose themselves in the activities that they're doing and the pleasures that they get from them, rather than developing morally. So you're not actually helping somebody out by going along with them doing wrong things. People like this are unwilling to stand up to other people and say, no, I'm not going to go along with it. What you're doing is actually bad or harmful or wrong, because they're unwilling to give other people pain. And this could be, that's where Aristotle stops. We could do an analysis and go much further. Why are they unwilling to give other people pain? Perhaps because of, you know, a traumatic childhood where when they actually stood up to people, they were beaten down. It could be a desperate need to be liked by other people, regardless of what your childhood is like. Some people are just, you know, desperately needy that way. It could be just general lack of character. There's quite a few people, I think, who are willing to go along fairly easily with wrong things. Provided that their group is doing it, provided that it's couched in the right way, you know, and they're not faced with direct responsibility themselves. Now, somebody who goes along with these sorts of things, Aristotle has two different terms for this. He calls it obsequiousness and flattery. And why does he make a distinction there? It depends on whether you're just doing this because that's the way you are and you're not getting anything out of it, in which case you're obsequious. Or are you trying to get something out of it? Are you kissing up to somebody else and telling them that they're a good person? You know, like for example, you belong to the entourage of somebody who's a jerk, then you're a flatterer. Kalakes in Greek, a term that was, you know, sort of universal reprobation, call somebody that. There are some people who are just that way, even if they don't get anything out of it. Oftentimes, they get taken advantage of themselves, and that's being obsequious. That's a certain lack of self-esteem that's involved there. It takes self-esteem to actually be able to tell other people, no, here's where the limit is. You're crossing the line here. Now, on the other hand, there's people who have this vice of deficiency that he calls unfriendliness or quarrelsomeness, and they're sort of the mirror opposite of this vice over here. They disapprove of everything or most things, even right things. They are unwilling to give other people pleasure. They're unwilling to join in. They are the contrarians for the sake of being contrarians. These are the people who are, I have to admit that personally, I can't stand it when people say, I just want to play devil's advocate, because usually, you know, what that means is, I want to indulge my vicious character of being a contrarian and raising all sorts of problems just for the sake of doing so. Sometimes, you know, there are actual devil's advocates who would belong over here, more often over here. Now, why would a person have that sort of character? In a way, to give other people pleasure, to say that they're right, is to indulge them, to engage them. to withhold that is to, in some respects, feel like one has some sort of power over them. It's illusory, completely illusory power. It doesn't actually contribute to anything, but I think that there are quite a few people who do that. So we have one vice over here, deficiency, people who are too quick to judge, too quick to say no. They do so on the wrong occasions. They draw lines too arbitrarily, too quickly, with the wrong people. They disapprove of even the right things. Over here, we have the person who doesn't observe limits other than to not have limits. You know, these are the ones who will say, hey, man, you shouldn't judge. And which is a judgment, right? It's being judgmental about other people. And that usually stems from a fear or unwillingness to actually take responsibility as a human being for engaging in judgment. And right here, we have the person who is actually in the mean position, who has some standards, who follows through on those standards, perhaps not completely consistently, depending on what degree of virtue they've developed, but actually is willing to say no to some things, and to which frees you up, by the way, to say yes all the more exuberantly or enthusiastically to the right things. And on that point, I will end. I just want to reiterate that one more time. That's a pleonasm there to say reiterate one more time. By saying no to the wrong things, by not being this person, it frees you up to say yes in a more intense, more enthusiastic, more rewarding way to the right things.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.